Welcome to Sci-Fi Tales. I'm your host, Shahrazad. Today's tale is called The Relations of Sidi Kur, a collection of 11 thrilling stories. We begin our journey with The Adventures of the Rich Youth. But before we delve into our tale, I'm excited to share our new YouTube channel with you. It's dedicated to fairy fireplaces, featuring themes from The Hobbit to Gandalf the Grey, with ambient settings like snow and wind. Be sure to check it out. You can find the link in the description of this episode. Now, let's embark on our journey into The Adventures of the Rich Youth. Glorified Nangasuna Garbi, thou art radiant within and without, the holy vessel of sublimity, the fathomer of concealed thoughts, the second of instructors, I bow before thee. What wonderful adventures fell to the lot of Nangasuna, and to the peaceful wandering Chan, and how instructive and learned the Sidi will be found. All this is developed in 13 pleasing narratives, and I will first relate the origin of these tales. In the central kingdom of India, there once lived 7 brothers who were magicians, and 1 baron, a measure of distance, further dwelt 2 brothers who were sons of a Chan. Now the eldest of these sons of the Chan betook himself to the magicians that he might learn their art. But although he studied under them for 7 years, yet the magicians taught him not the true key to magic. And once upon a time it happened that the youngest brother, going to bring food to the elder, peeped through the opening of the door and obtained the key to magic. Thereupon, without delivering to the elder the food which he had brought for him, he returned home to the palace. Then said the younger son of the Chan to his brother, "That we have learnt magic, let us keep to ourselves. We have in the stable a beautiful horse. Take this horse and ride not with him near the dwelling place of the magicians, but sell the horse in their country and bring back merchandise." And when he had said thus, he changed himself into a horse. But the elder son of the Chan heeded not the words of his brother, but said unto himself, "Full 7 years have I studied magic, and as yet have learned nothing. Where, then, has my young brother found so beautiful a horse? And how can I refuse to ride thereon?" With these words he mounted, but the horse, being impelled by the power of magic, was not to be restrained, galloped away to the dwelling place of the magicians, and could not be got from the door. "Well, then, I will sell the horse to the magicians." Thus thinking to himself, the elder called out to the magicians, "Saw ye ever a horse like unto this? My younger brother it was who found him." At these words the magicians communed with one another, "This is a magic horse. If magic grow at all common, there will be no wonderful art remaining. Let us, therefore, take this horse and slay him." The magicians paid the price demanded for the horse and tied him in a stall. And that he might not escape out of their hands, they fastened him, ready for slaughter, by the head, by the tail, and by the feet. "Ah," thought the horse to himself, "my elder brother hearkened not unto me, and therefore am I fallen into such hands. What form shall I assume?" While the horse was thus considering, he saw a fish swim by him in the water, and immediately he changed himself into a fish. But the 7 magicians became 7 herons, and pursued the fish, and were on the point of catching it, when it looked up and beheld a dove in the sky, and thereupon transformed itself into a dove. The 7 magicians now became 7 hawks, and followed the dove over mountains and rivers, and would certainly have seized upon it. But the dove, flying eastwards, to the peaceful cave in the rock Gulumchi, concealed itself in the bosom of Nangasuna Bakchi, the instructor. Then the 7 hawks became 7 beggars, and drew nigh unto the rock Gulumchi. "What may this import?" bethought the Bakchi to himself, "that this dove has fled hither pursued by 7 hawks." Thus thinking, the Bakchi said, "Wherefore, O dove, fliest thou hither in such alarm?" Then the dove related to him the cause of its flight, and spake afterwards as follows. "At the entrance to the rock Gulumchi stand 7 beggars, and they will come to the Bakchi and say, 'We pray thee give us the rosary of the Bakchi.' Then will I transform myself into the Bumba of the rosary. Let the Bakchi then vouchsafe to take this Bumba into his mouth and to cast the rosary from him. Hereupon the seven beggars drew nigh, and the Bakshi took the first bead into his mouth and the rest he cast from him. The beads which were cast away then became worms, and the seven beggars became fowls and ate up the worms. Then the Bakshi let the first bead fall from his mouth, and thereupon the first bead was transformed into a man with a sword in his hand. When the seven fowls were slain and become human corpses, the Bakshi was troubled in his soul and said these words, "Through my having preserved one single man have seven been slain. Of a verity, this is not good." To these words the other replied, "I am the son of a Chan. Since, therefore, through the preservation of my life, several others have lost their lives, I will, to cleanse me from my sins, and also to reward the Bakshi, execute whatsoever he shall command me." The Bakshi replied thereto, "Now then, in the cold forest of death, there abides Sidi Kur. The upper part of his body is decked with gold. The lower is of brass. His head is covered with silver. Seize him and hold him fast. Whosoever finds this wonderful Sidi Kur, him will I make for 1,000 years a man upon the earth." Thus spake he, and the youth thereupon began these words, "The way which I must take, the food which I require, the means which I must employ, all these vouchsafe to make known unto me." To this the Bakshi replied, "It shall be as thou demandest. At the distance of a baron, a measure of distance from this place, you will come to a gloomy forest, through which you will find there runs only one narrow path. The place is full of spirits. When thou reachest the spirits, they will throng around you, then cry ye with a loud voice, 'Spirits, Chulu Chulu Sochi.' And when thou hast spoken these words, they will all be scattered like grain. When thou hast proceeded a little further, you will encounter a crowd of other spirits. Then cry, 'Ye, spirits, Chu Lu Chu Lu Sozi.' And a little further on, you will behold a crowd of child spirits. Say unto these, 'Child spirits, Rira Padra, in the middle of this wood sits Sidi Kur, beside an amiri tree. When he beholds you, he will climb up it. But you must take the moon axe, with furious gestures draw nigh unto the tree, and bid Sidi Kur descend. To bring him away, you will require this sack, which would hold 100 men. To bind him fast, this 100 fathoms of checkered rope will serve you. This inexhaustible cake will furnish thee with provender for thy journey. When thou hast got thy load upon thy back, wander then on without speaking, until thou art returned home again. Thy name is Son of the Chan, and since thou hast reached the peaceful rock Gulumchi, thou shalt be called the peaceful wandering Son of the Chan." Thus spake the Bakshi, and showed him the way of expiation. When Sidi Kur beheld his pursuer, he speedily climbed up the amiri tree. But the Son of the Chan drew nigh unto the foot of the tree, and spake with threatening words, "My Bakshi is Nangasuna Garbi. Mine axe is called the White Moon. An inexhaustible cake is my provender. This sack, capable of holding 100 men, will serve to carry thee away. This 100 fathoms of rope will serve to bind thee fast. I myself am the peaceful wandering Son of the Chan. Descend, or I will hew down the tree." Then spake Sidi Kur, "Do not hew down the tree. I will descend from it." And when he had descended, the Son of the Chan thrust him into the sack, tied the sack fast with the rope, ate of the butter cake, and wandered forth many days with his burden. At length Sidi Kur said to the Son of the Chan, "Since our long journey is wearisome unto us, I will tell a story unto you, or do you relate one unto me?" The Son of the Chan kept on his way, however, without speaking a word, and Sidi began afresh, "If thou wilt tell a story, nod your head to me. If I shall relate one, then do you shake your head." But because the Son of the Chan shook his head from side to side, without uttering a word, Sidi began the following tale. In former times there lived, in a great kingdom, a rich youth, a calculator, a mechanic, a painter, a physician, and a smith. And they all departed from their parents and went forth into a foreign land, When they at length arrived at the mouth of a great river, they planted, every one of them, a tree of life, and each of them, following one of the sources of the river, set forth to seek their fortunes. "Here," said they to one another, "here will we meet again. Should, however, any one of us be missing, and his tree of life be withered, we will search for him in the place whither he went to." Thus they agreed, and separated one from another. And the rich youth found at the source of the stream, which he had followed, a pleasure garden with a house, in the entrance to which were seated an old man and an old woman. "Good youth," exclaimed they both, "whence comest thou? Whither goest thou?" The youth replied, "I come from a distant country, and am going to seek my fortune." And the old couple said unto him, "It is well thou hast come hither. We have a daughter, slender of shape and pleasant of behaviour. Take her, and be a son unto us." And when they had so spoken, the daughter made her appearance. And when the youth beheld her, he thought unto himself, "It is well I left my father and my mother. This maiden is more beauteous than a daughter of the Tungari, godlike spirits of the male and female sex. I will take the maiden and dwell here." And the maiden said, "Youth, it is well that thou earnest here." Thereupon they conversed together, went together into the house, and lived peacefully and happily. Now, over the same country, there reigned a mighty Chan. And once in the springtime, when his servants went forth together to bathe, they found, near the mouth of the river, in the water, a pair of costly earrings, which belonged to the wife of the rich youth. Because, therefore, these jewels were so wondrously beautiful, they carried them to the Chan, who, being greatly surprised thereat, said unto his servants, "Dwells there, at the source of the river, a woman such as these belong to. Go, and bring her unto me." The servants went accordingly, beheld the woman, and were amazed at the sight. "This woman," said they to one another, "one would never tire of beholding." But to the woman they said, "Arise, and draw nigh with us unto the Chan." Hereupon the rich youth conducted his wife to the presence of the Chan. But the Chan, when he beheld her, exclaimed, "This maiden is a Tungari. Compared with her, my wives are but ugly." Thus spake he, and he was so smitten with love of her that he would not let her depart from his house. But as she remained true and faithful to the rich youth, the Chan said unto his servants, "Remove this rich youth instantly out of my sight." At these commands the servants went forth, taking with them the rich youth, whom they led to the water, where they laid him in a pit by the side of the stream, covered him with a huge fragment of the rock, and thus slew him. At length it happened that the other wanderers returned from all sides, each to his tree of life. And when the rich youth was missed, and they saw that his tree of life was withered, they sought him up the source of the river, which he had followed, but found him not. Hereupon the reckoner discovered, by his calculations, that the rich youth was lying dead under a piece of the rock. But as they could by no means remove the stone, the smith took his hammer, smote the stone, and drew out the body. Then the physician mixed a life-inspiring draught, gave the same to the dead youth, and so restored him to life. They now demanded of him whom they had recalled to life, "In what manner wert thou slain?" He accordingly related unto them the circumstances, and they communed one with another, saying, "Let us snatch this extraordinary beautiful woman from the Chan." Thereupon the mechanic constructed a wooden gerudin, or wonderful bird, which when moved upwards from within, ascended into the air, when moved downwards, descended into the earth, when moved sideways, flew sideways accordingly. When this was done, they painted it with different colours, so that it was pleasant to behold. Then the rich youth seated himself within the wooden bird, flew through the air, and hovered over the roof of the royal mansion. And the Chan and his servants were astonished at the form of the bird, and said, "A bird like unto this we never before saw or heard of." And to his wife the Chan said, "Go ye to the roof of the palace and offer food of different kinds unto this strange bird." When she went up to offer food, the bird descended, and the rich youth opened the door, which was in the bird. Then said the wife of the Chan, full of joy, "I had never hoped or thought to have seen thee again. yet now have I found thee once more. This has been accomplished by this wonderful bird. After the youth had related to her all that had happened, he said unto her, Thou art now the wife of the Chan, but if your heart now yearns unto me, step thou into this wooden gerudin, and we will fly hence through the air, and for the future no care no more. After these words the wife said, To the first husband, to whom destiny united me, am I inclined more than ever. Having thus spoken, they entered into the wooden gerudin, and ascended into the sky. The Chan beheld this, and said, Because I sent thee up, that thou mightest feed this beautiful bird, thou hast betaken thyself to the skies. Thus spake he, full of anger, and threw himself weeping on the ground. The rich youth now turned the peg in the bird downwards, and descended upon the earth close to his companions. And when he stepped forth out of the bird, his companions asked him, Hast thou thoroughly accomplished all that thou didst desire? Thereupon his wife also stepped forth, and all who beheld her became in love with her. You, my companions, said the rich youth, have brought help unto me. You have awakened me from death. You have afforded me the means of once more finding my wife. Do not, I beseech you, rob me of my charmer once again. Thus spake he, and the calculator began with these words. Had I not discovered by my calculation where thou wert lying, thou wouldst never have recovered thy wife. In vain, said the smith, would the calculations have been, had I not drawn thee out of the rock. By means of the shattered rock it was that you obtained your wife. Then your wife belongs to me. A body, said the physician, was drawn from out of the shattered rock. That this body was restored to life and recovered his former wife, it was my skill accomplished it. I, therefore, should take the wife. But for the wooden bird, said the mechanic, no one would ever have reached the wife. A numerous host attend upon the Chan. No one can approach the house wherein he resides. Through my wooden bird alone was the wife recovered. Let me then take her. The wife, said the painter, never would have carried food to a wooden bird. Therefore, it was only through my skill in painting that she was recovered. I, therefore, claim her. And when they had thus spoken, they drew their knives and slew one another. Alas, poor woman, exclaimed the son of the Chan. And Sidi said, Ruler of destiny, thou hast spoken words, Sawala misbrod Jaksang. Thus spake he, and burst from the sack through the air. Thus Sidi's first tale treated of the adventures of the rich youth. Thank you for listening, dear listeners. I hope you liked my tale. If you did, please follow me on Sci-Fi Tales to listen to more tales every week. You can also share your thoughts and opinions on our social media. I appreciate your feedback and support. Don't miss the next episode of Sci-Fi Tales, the show where we bring you stories of science fiction and fantasy. Good night, and see you soon.